Okay, let's learn on page Kuf Mem Gimel. We've been learning the Shitas of Maharal regarding Dveikus Bashem and Tam HaMitzvahs. We were talking about a Yesod that would later on become very important in the Sifrei Chassidus. It's also very much a part of the Sifrei HaRamchal, that in order that there should be Dveikus, in order that there should be attachment, anytime, even if we're talking about, if we discussed at length last week, we were talking about the chasn and kala between chaverim, and all relationships are only a reflection of the ultimate relationship, which is between a Jew and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In order for there to be dveikus between two in a relationship, there must be a hizdamus, meaning there must be a resemblance. Only where there's resemblance. So the Maral was saying, we saw those last few lines on page Kuf Mem Gimel on top, where he says, "Ki roya hazdamus bein sofik lahavi achibur." Only when there's resemblance, when they share something in common, when they have a common goal, when there's a common dream and aspiration. We were talking about in this world, chaverim, husband and wife. Only when there is this hazdamus can there be chibur, can there be real connection, attachment, a cleaving on the deepest level. Right? That those that are daimim, those that are identical or resemble each other, they have the potential of being mechuborim. They have the potential of being attached. And therefore we spoke about that, of course, in Pnimius, each and every Jew can be attached to another Jew. In the deepest way, is avecha lekulanu. We share an infinite amount in common, and there are very few things that separate between us, and the things that separate between one Jew and another are all chitzanius. But in the pnimius of who we are the most similar. Even if there's a Jew from Taman and there's another Jew from Texas. But all Jews are mizdamim zelaza, and wherever there's hizdamas, there can be a chibur. Now the reason that the Maharal is talking about this is because the reason the Maharal is bringing this entire discussion to our context here is because the Maharal is telling us that certainly what we know of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as far as how he's revealed his presence in this world, what we know of him is that he is Kel Rachum Mechanun Erech HaPayim Rav Chesed Vemes. These are the midas of Hashem, which of course are not describing his essence, which is unknowable, but describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in this world. And that includes tzedakah and mishpat and all those wonderful things that have become mitzvahs in our lives. So the Maharal is saying that there's only one way to be mizdabik to Hashem, and that's mahu afata. The more we resemble Hashem, the more we share in common kivyachal with the master of the world as far as he's revealed in this world. Therefore, it's obvious, the Maharal says, that all acts of tzedakah and mishpat, all of those positive acts are included in the gather of Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teleichu, which Chazal say, how could you follow? What does it mean to walk after Hashem? How could a person be a dovuk to Hashem? As Chazal asks, he's an eish oichel, he's a consuming fire. Now the Teretz is, the more that one is mizdamet to Hashem, the more you share in common. If you and I share this common goal, which is Yerushalayim, which is Kavod Shemayim, which is Or Hashem, which is the Emes of Torah, so then we get along with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're on good terms. When do we begin Chalila to have problems with Hashem? When he wants one thing and I want something else. If the Baruch Hashem wants one thing and I want something else, this is Gaidnisht. Then it doesn't go well. That's the Yesod in Dveikus Hashem. So in terms of positive acts, all of these, the Maharal says, are obvious reflections of the Midas Hashem, that is Rachel Mechanan, Tzedakah, Mishpat, and so on, will bring a person to Hatzlach HaChroinim. That answers the question of those who were mocking the Maharal and mocking Torah and said, how could it be, the philosophers, right, the Chokrim? And he means even the Chokrim Hashem HaShabbos. That how could it be that the highest level of Dveikus could be achieved by simple physical acts? Dveikus to Hashem in the mind of the philosophers, lahavdil between the holy and the unholy, but in the mind of Aristotle we saw And there were those Jews who followed in that path that the truest Dveikus Hashem can only take place on an intellectual level. There's no question that the study of Torah is an extraordinary and exalted level of Dveikus. We'll talk more about that, and that's something which the Tani discusses at length. But the Chokrim, the philosophers, could not conceive of a Dveikus with the one who is not physical, with the one who is unknowable. How could it take place? By giving a pruta to an ani, by giving a penny to a poor man, or putting your arm around a friend and saying, you know, chazak v'amatz, and that causes all kinds of things to happen. How could it be? They saw that as absurd. Man, in his essence, is on his most exalted level, is a brain, is the intellect. And so, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is pure intellect. So how could it be that there should be a dveikus between one and the other through physical ma'isim? So that's what the Maharal's explaining. That through these simple physical ma'isim, we are mizdamim elav. We are mizdamim elav. Therefore, you could have a husband and wife who, although they might not be perfectly aligned intellectually, but as far as their midas are concerned, and as far as the teva and how they act in this world, as far as that's concerned, even though there are intellectual and yonim that have to be smoothed out, there can still be a very, very high level of happiness and of attachment. Whereas you'll find people who might like to discuss the same magazines, and they both love Emily Dickinson, and they're both lahavla big fans, let's say, you know, of the Svarno, whatever it might be, and they've both written a thesis on the Svarno, and yet lakarv zel zeh, like they mamish can't get along. And they can't understand because they used to sit in a cafe and discuss the Svarno, and it was gewaldig. And now in the home, it's not working. And they try once in a while to remember an old Svarno, and it's still not working. And the Svarno is delicious, there's no question about it, but it's not working to bring them together. And the Teretz is Hashem Hashem Karachu Mechan and Erech Apayim Rav Chesed V'Emes to be Mizdama Elov. And certainly, when two people are working their entire lives and their singular goal is to be mizdamim to the Rabbanu Shalom, to be mizdamim to Hashem, then they'll love each other even if one is a Litvak and the other is a Chosid. Or one's a Svadi, the other's a Galiziana. They can still love each other. Because they're walking in one kivun. They're marching to the same beat. Right? That's what we're talking about. Now, until now we're talking about positive inyanim. So it's clear that even the most base, simple, physical things, like tzedakah and mishpat, we were talking until now, but tefillin tzitzis, but tzedakah and mishpat, it's obvious that mahu afata, that how can you resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yimavaka chaylim, and so on. Now, as far as the negative is concerned, if you want to be detached from Hashem, so there are many people that they'll do whatever they like, and they'll say, but you should know, I want you to know, that I am very, very, God and I are very close. Ayes and Oichel Nevelis and Treifis and Michal Shabbos and so on, but we have a very, very strong relationship. And so it seems, and it could be that he talks to Hashem more than the guy in the shtiebel next to you, right? More than you. Maybe he does talk more to Hashem. And maybe he's a very spiritual guy, and maybe he lights candles and he closes his eyes and all kinds of good stuff. So the Maharal explains, Kamari Chayin, page Kuf Mem Gim. In terms of negative actions, there are those that are quite obvious in the most powerful way, tearing a person away from Hashem. Regardless of how you feel, they cause a rift between you and Hashem. Some of the world's favorite, right? These things, theft, murder, gilarayas, immorality, be'ein suffik, that they bring upon a person einish hanitzchi, eternal misery, which is separation from Hashem. Ki ba'orach hanira'or, only when you're in Hashem's light is there light. So how could it be? The philosophers would have the same taina. Intellectually, I'm mamish tuned into Hashem. My mind, which is the essence of who I am, is connected to Hashem. Okay, so what? So I'm a shayfich damim. I'm a ganav, and so on. Those things that I do should not in any way interfere with this connection that I have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that can't be. That's the Maharal saying. Because when I do those things, as the Maharal is now going to explain, I am setting myself up as someone who is opposite him, who's so different from Hashem. Because Hashem is soine gezel, he's soine zima. These are dafka the ones where you find psukim and chazals, where we find Hashem being described as despising something. He's not just picking the stam. Hashem despises certain things. We know that because every aveir Hashem did, but there are those aveiras that are described by Chazal and by the Nevi'im with these strong lashonis of that Hashem is soine. He hates zima, gilarais. He's soine gezel. He hates theft. Why? Samal explains. Shekol elu, the top of the second column. Shekol elu hem rechoikim umetu avim bein Hashem is baruch, because these are so far removed from Hashem. These are the other end of the universe from Hashem. Shu yisbarach etzem hayoyisher, because the Rebbeinu Shalom is the etzem. He is the embodiment of all that is straight and all that is true and all that's emesdik. And chayisim shakadosh baruch hu emes. Ubuchol elu, and all of these things, which means gezel, gneiver, ritzicha, rayas, all of these things. Ubuchol elu, shehem gezel, gneiver, ritzicha, hu ha'avla ashehu metuav beinei Hashem yisbarach. These are, for whatever reason, he doesn't go into each of these separately right now. In his ksavim, he does. A little bit we'll see in the footnotes, a little bit in a few minutes, in the top and the bottom. But these are various befrat. Avodah Zarah, of course, Avodah Zarah, which itself, the name Avodah Zarah means it's strange, it's meshuna, it's alien, it's foreign, kivyachot Hashem. These are averas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Etzem HaYoyisher, despises. Hashem's as we know it, he's the Yashrus of Hashem, can't tolerate. Doyvesh Shkarm, Hashem says, the one who is a liar, lo yikin l'negad, Hashem can't look at him. He can't be in Hashem's presence. And we were learning Chassidus last week from the Rebbe Bunim, where the Rebbe Bunim said, in the name of the Chayzer, said that he prefers a Rasha who knows he's a Rasha over the Tzaddik who knows he's a Tzaddik. So the Rebbe Bunim said, how could that be? So the Chayzer said, as the Rasha who knows he's a Rasha, he's at least connected on some level to Kadosh Baruch Hu because he's Emes, and Chayzer is Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, and Hashem can't stand a liar. But the tzaddik, the person who thinks he's a tzaddik, it says in pasuk, "Ain't tzaddik b'asher she'asa tov le'echta." That there's no such thing as a person who's zachis libi, who's purified himself to such a darg that he holds himself to be a tzaddik. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak of himself in such a way. So the Chayzer said that I prefer a Rasha who knows he's a Rasha than the tzaddik who says he's a tzaddik, because the tzaddik is what the tzaddik, that tzaddik, I mean the person who's acting that way, he's living in a domain that could be altogether sheker. He might be fooling himself completely. The Chayzer wasn't saying that a Rasha is better than a tzaddik. Or even a Beinoni, or even someone who's striving to be a tzaddik. What the Chayzer was saying is that if you're fooling yourself, then it could be that all of your tzidkas, all of your avoider, is a game. And but the Rasha, who knows he's a Rasha, he could change. There's still a chibur in this way, which is emes. And chosim shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, of all of Hashem's midas, he said his chosim, his signature, his seal is emes. So the Rasha who knows he's a Rasha, of course he has to change, he has to do tshuva, that's not the point. But there's something there that's mamish emesdik. There's something that's emesdik. It's pure and it's sincere and it's honest. There's something even more shocking I mentioned in that shir, which this bechlal, like the misnagdim, would really really have a hard time with. But there were many people who you know, by the chayzer's door there were thousands of people every day, and there was this, once it happened that there was a guy that was like a real unsavory character. A terrible looking, this, the way he spoke. And he came in, there's a big arlum, and of course there's a line. You have to wait. You have to go to the shamans. You have to give a couple of prutas to the shamans. There's a seder, right? This guy's a bulvan. He goes right up, pushes people over, walks right through, and he opens the door. The whole arlum is shocked, and he says, Chayzer! He calls that. And the chassidim wanted to tear him apart, but they see the chayzer gets up, and he says, Yankele! and with such a smile. And the chayzi asked the person who's there, who's a choshevi, to please for a minute to step out. And he takes him, and they close the door. So the chassid already, this is already, it must be as a lamed vav, it must be as a tzaddik nister. So after a few minutes he comes out, and the chayzi walks him and says goodbye to him. So the chassidim were all excited, and they run into the chayzi and says, Rab, he was one from the lamed vav tzaddik, and we were zarkat to see. So he says, Yankel, a lamed vav tzaddik? He's a manuvel, mamish a manuvel. So how is it that he went right through and the Rebbe gave him such a Kabbalah upon him, such a reception? So the Chayzer said, I have to tell you something. This Yid, when he does a Averis, he has such a geshmak. He enjoys himself so much. You see, all of you, when you come in, you always have a marishchar, you're always depressed, because you're really Elech Yid, and it bothers you if you do something that's wrong. So every one of you comes in, I have to tell you, I try to help you, but you get me depressed. Because you're all tzibrochen, you're all marishcharedik, you know, you're all like, you're all marishcharedik. But when this year comes in, when he does a veris, he mamish enjoys it so much, he doesn't have even a hiver tshuva. You should know that he's a rosh. But I have a chiyas, like, you know, to see somebody that's like completely besimcha. He's completely besimcha. It's crazy, but it's 100% on the level. Or like the Yid HaKadosh, you know, there was a Jew that came into town, and he goes. What is a Jew? Where does he go? He goes into a kretschm. He goes into an inn. He's tired. He goes to get a drink. So it's a Jewish place, and this Yid sits down. He says, "Can you pour me a drink?" So the owner, the bartender, is a Yid. He says, "Maybe you didn't hear that the Rebbe here was the Yid HaKadosh." What do you mean? Of course, I know you have the Yid HaKadosh. She says, "I understand." So maybe you didn't know that he's very sick. He says, "I didn't know. I'm sorry to hear the Rebbe is sick." So he said, so in our town, all the Jews were makabel today, Atanas, we're fasting today. So you're not from the town, but I just want you to know that we're fasting. So he says, really? Oy. So he closes his eyes and he gives a bang on the table, says, Rabbi Shalom, please make the Yid better so I could have this drink. I'm mamash chalashing for this drink. And you know that at that moment, the Yid opened his eyes and he had a Yeshua. And he said, there's somebody in the bar that just davened for me. And the Yid HaKadosh said that, the Yid HaKadosh said that he was the only one that really, really wanted me to get better, because he, Be'emes, wanted that drink. You see, all of you wanted Torah for me. All of you want my tefillahs. That's all. I know you love me. But he really, Be'emes, wanted that drink. He couldn't be soivel alive without that drink. And you could be soivel alive without the Yid. That's what he said. Chamardik a thing. That the Midas Ha'emes. So the Maral says, all of these in Yonam, Ritzich, Gave, all of these things are the Hafochim Mamish. Hashem despises that, because Hashem is the Etzem HaYosher, is straightness, and these are various Befrat, in particular, are the epitome of crookedness. When Hashem is Baruch, even though the philosopher is saying, what's the Nafkin? Aristotle, after his most choshev lectures, used to go and do the most horrible affairs. Most horrible Averis. And I mentioned to you back 2 months ago, I mentioned the great philosopher of the 20th century, Bertrand Russell, who taught about morality and about ethics and goodness and kindness. He was showing off about, he was openly speaking about how immoral a person he was. And when his students asked him, he said, listen, Einstein wasn't a triangle. Well, so what? I'm an expert in morality. It doesn't mean that I'm moral. And in his brilliant mind, there's no steer. There's no steerer. There's no contradiction. Because who am I? The person who I am is the essence of who I am is my intellect. Samuel says, that person can never be dovek to Hashem. V'chein harayis. So too when it comes to gilei harayis. When it comes to this type of immorality. These in yonim of gilei harayis. Shehu znus. Which is znus. Perversion. Perversion, sexual perversion. V'hu inyan chomri. Which is what? Znus, you see, gnev and gezeila, the reason that Hashem hates theft, and that person, when he steals with all of his philosophy, he's far from Hashem, is because Hashem is the etzem of emes and yoshe. And this guy's a ganav, which is sheker. And Hashem hates that. And a person who's involved in this affair of gilei harayis, so the Rebbeinu Shalom is what? The Baruch Shalom is Tohor Einayim. He's pure. He's not physical. So, as much as a human being can can remove himself from a preoccupation with physical things, to that degree is he able to be attached, to resemble Hashem. A person who is involved in the Avei of Gilarayis, he's obsessed with physical things. He's obsessed with physical pleasure. Therefore, it's an Inyan Chomri. And because it's an Inyan Chomri, it's purely a physical matter. Gilarayis means giving in to the impulses of the physical body. Therefore, Ve'ein L'Gedah Kedusha. That person can't be Mizdabik to Hashem, because Hashem is Kaddish, 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 and this person is Tomei, Tomei, Tomei. So how could the two dwell in one place?
I understand. Saying it is the same thing, or it's totally different? Gila Arias and Gezel.
No, Gila...
The sinner is because it's the same, or no, it's different?
No, Hashem... What does sinner mean? What does it mean when Hashem hates?
But it's the opposite of...
It means that it's not like Hashem. Right? It's the opposite of Hashem. So that's what sinner means. It doesn't mean like Hashem is sitting around and throwing darts at the guy's picture. So Hashem hating means that this is something that's on the opposite end of the universe from Hashem's Baruch. So that's in different ways. Gzeilah is because Hashem is Emes, and this person stands on the other side of the world because he's a shakran, he's a liar. A person's Megal Arayis, he is despised equals. He is the opposite of Hashem, because Hashem is Tahor, is Tahor Einayim, is pure, and can't look, and everything is completely spiritual. And this person is embedded in his physical life. So, is it the same sinner?
I'm saying it's the same thing because it's opposite.
That's right.
Different reasons.
No.
It's the same. The basic category is because
it's
different, each for its own
reason. Yeah. That's why look in footnote 32. Let's just finish that sentence. So we understand that this person can't be attached to Hashem, because Hashem is Kaddish B'tachas HaKadosh. Hashem is utterly removed from physical things. He's utterly, even though he's responsible for all physical existence, it doesn't have any sway over him. It doesn't, in other words, you could... The fact that a person earns a living doesn't mean that the living that he's earning has to take away his life. He can still be a spiritual person and earn a living. But the chilik is whether or not your body is listening to your neshama, or your neshama is enslaved to your body. That's the chilik. So Hashem is Kaddish. That means that he's not in any way constrained by physical things. Whereas about Taiva, in this area of immorality, He might know that this is wrong. He might say this is terrible. He might feel this is... Not only that, it could be destroying my life. I could be putting myself in terrible danger for my life. Nowadays, all kinds of machlis. No. Because what? Because the taiva saguf is so strong, and that's the opposite of Hashem. Who's betachlis hakedusha. Ulekach roi elav hakrisa v'apiv nemeni yisbar. And that's why such a person is roi that he should... experience kares, which means to be cut off from Hashem. It's not that Hashem is giving a patch that's called kares. It means the result of such an act, which is the opposite, which causes you to be so different from Him. Mimela, the result of that is that you're totally detached. You yourself brought a krisa. You yourself separated. You wrote the sefer krisas between you and Hashem. So in footnote 32, he says, "Yesay nafut ma'ayd b'sifim moral." That this is a yesod in all the writings of the morale. Ukigoyim benetzach Yisrael, like we see in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Zayin, Kosem. Misha noita acha haznus hu inyan chomri. Somebody who has netias after inyan haznus in this aveira, this person is meshubed, is enslaved to the body. Shalakach omra Torah. Therefore, the Torah says shahasoita karbonas iron. Right, that the Seiter, this is in the Svarim HaKadoshim, a very big Inyan, as we move from Pesach to Shavuos, right, so we're misakin that repair, or that avoid of a Jew to lift himself out of the world of the Behema, which the Seirim is a Meichel Behema, barley, and over the course of Sirius Seirim to refine himself to such a point where he comes to the Shtei HaLechem, to the offering of Shavuos, which is from Chitim, which is what? The food of a human being, a Meichel Adam. This, of course, this very famous teaching in the Svarma Kedoshim comes from Chazal, that tells us that why is the carbon also of a Saita, this woman who was Nichshel, who failed in this area of Znus, that, I mean, even though let's say she's not, even though she might pass the test, but Sof Kol Sof, she did something that's wrong. So this woman, so the carbon is from Sairim, and Chazal say why. Why is it from barley? Barley, which is the food that's for animals. That's what they were given, barley, Sairim. Why? Shehi also sa maise chamor. She did a maise of a chamor, of a donkey, of a behemoth, meaning of a chamor is the Lashon Chumrius. She knew that she had a commitment to her husband, and she, despite that, was misled, was led away by her physical desire. Lekach, therefore, karbona gam kein maichel chama. Therefore, Chazal say, her carbon is brought from the maichel of a behema, from the food of an animal. Because this is, what's an animal? An animal doesn't sit around thinking whether or not, what's my tachlis. An animal doesn't go like, an animal doesn't like go far away to discover himself. An animal is, like the Maral says, behemah is ba-ma. Ba-ma means it is what it is. All it has is its sheifa to eat and to reproduce. It doesn't have any other sheifas. That's all it has. I mean, people could imagine all kinds of things, and they could think all kinds of things, but that's all the behemah has, ba-ma. U-b-der-chayim, Parakalav Mishnah Beis, Kosav Gilei Reis, Shahelach Achaz Nus. This is a very of Gilei Reis, where a person is Hailach Achaz Nus. Which means that he is drawn and led astray by physical desire. Ad shehu nechshav legamrei kamei behema v'chama. Till he becomes himself a behema, an animal that just walks around in a suit and with a couple of degrees. Oh, a behema is a behema. V'chein omru zal ki maise znus u maise behema. V'mesechas soitim mipnei ma karbonis shel soitim maichel behema. Well, that's why the site is we just learned eats a Michael behemoth, the food of a behemoth. And that's why the word saita is in the lashon of shtus, chnarishkai. Saita, the sin and the samach are interchangeable. And that's why the lashon saita means stiyam and haderech. It means to go away from the path. It means to go away. In other words, there's a certain mahalach, and that mahalach, that kivun, that direction, between that line that attaches a human being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one that consists of the 630 mitzvahs and all the drabbanans. This person, and particularly this person who is led by Znus, he is Soitim and Hadarah. This is a Maisa Behema. And a Behema is not Mizdabik to Hashem, is not attached to Hashem. I don't have to explain this anymore. That znus, this is more than anything a maise behema. That's what znus is. He says this in many, many places. And that's why in footnote 33 we know that kedusha therefore is even though kedusha means many, many things on many levels, holiness on the most basic level, Kedoshim Tiyu means Purushim and Arayis. It means the beginning of Kedusha, the beginning of holiness is sanctity, that when it comes to this inyan of Gilei Arayis, of Kedusha Sabris. Ki Kedusha Sa'odam HaMezik Kenei Getayva Sa'erva. Kefi Shapirish Rashi Resh Parash Kedoshim, Kedoshim Tiyu Ever Purushim and Arayis. Kal Mokum Shatam Reitzei Gedeerva Atam Reitzei Kedusha. That's the most basic level of Kedusha. And I explained this a few weeks ago. It doesn't mean it's not telling you what kedusha is, and a lot of people make a mistake. I grew up thinking that because when you're learning just in school, that's what I always thought. What's kedusha? Because kodesh kedusha means prushim and harayis. I always thought that. I remember as a kid thinking like kodesh Hashem sorokas. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu is porushim and harayis. Okay, I mean I couldn't think of any other way for Hashem to be porushim and harayis. What does it mean? That's not telling what kedusha is. What Chazal is saying is kol mokum sha'atam moitze geder erva atam moitze kedusha. In other words, when the person is living a life where he has gedorim, where he's in control of this inyan of arayis, there can do what kedusha can thrive. Kedusha can grow in such a life. It's not saying this is what kedusha is be'etzem. There are dargis and dargis that ain't soif to what kedusha is, but we know what it isn't. And what it isn't, and where it can't live, where it can't exist, is in the place of arayis. There it can't exist. And that's why, like many things in Lashon HaKodesh, it's fascinating in Hebrew, how the word kedusha can mean the thing and its opposite, kedesha. What does it mean, the kedesha? It means a woman of ill repute, a kedesha, right? It means a lashon of znus. A zayna is a kedesha, right? And in Avodah Zarah, that inyan of znus in the ancient world, it was in an open way. They were, the kedesha was part of the Avodah Zarah. Was part of the Avodah Zarah was znus. In modern times, they don't openly say it, but that's a kiyudu. That's a major part of the Avodah. Not that it's official, but that's the whole connection between the Avodah Zarah and znus is very strong. So it's interesting that the word kedusha and its opposite, kedusha means prushim and arayis, it means there you can have kedusha, and davka that is the lashon of kedesha, which is the opposite. Because of shama gurari, the nira hatam, she'acher she'shem kedusha nemal prushim and inyone haguf v'tavaisav, Samral explains that since kedusha is describing, at least in the beginning, the one who is separate from physical, from being driven by his physical, by being controlled by his physical desires, Yoyseroy al geder erva shehem taivis aguf biyoyis. The most powerful taivis aguf, the most powerful desire of the guf, is arayis. Ulekach mishen noita achaznus yermal zeh shuh maisib yeomer al zeh shuh maisib ayma. Therefore, this person is the opposite of a kodesh. Lefisha aznus. Inyan gufani, v'zeinyan a behema shehi kula guf v'chaim. What's a behema? As I said before, a behema is kula guf v'chaim. All he is, all a behema is kula guf v'chaim. He's not. There is nothing else there besides physical. His physical instincts. That's all the animal does. It's all the animal. You know, not the people that imagine that the behemas, you know, have feelings. I spoke about that a little bit last. But I was listening on the radio. I was listening on the radio, and there was a person who sounded like an intelligent person who was talking about how elephants are not being treated properly. Vaharaya, I'm not disagreeing with that. I mean, I personally never had any problems with but I understand that sometimes they're not being treated properly. But vaharaya is the person said, look how sad the elephant looks. They always look sad. Look at their eyes, they always look sad. So I thought maybe it was Leitzanis. So, like, you know, the porpoise always looks happy. So he's like, Besimcha, you know, the porpoise is Besimcha. And the elephant is an Atzvis. You know, this is people are crazy. I mean, my mom's crazy people. It's, you know, it's, but these are people who you would say are intelligent people, I'm sugar. A behemoth is a bama. A bama is like nothing. Nothing from nothing. And you see that people who can't have a relationship with another human being, so they talk about behemoths like it's like their dog becomes a pet becomes something. It's nothing. It's a bama. It's a behemoth. Because why? It's kulo gifani. It's just it has nothing except its physical life. There's nothing else. It's not thinking about anything, and it doesn't make a difference if you say that my hunt, my dog is so smart, you know. This guy has a parakeet that says over the olive bays. It doesn't make a difference. That's also a maise chumri. It's just a maise chumri. There's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. And it's, you know, it's an interesting shalos nagei lahalacha. It's nagel halacha. I'm not going to go into the halacha right now, but it's nagel halacha. Let's say a person, which is discussed in tshuvas, even in the Rishonim we find tshuvas. Let's say that a person is able to train the dog, and the dog will be mechal Shabbos for him. He has the dog do something for him on Shabbos. So is it the gedder of Amir la'akum? What does it mean? Amir la'behema? What is this? What is that? What's the gedder of that? Right? So do you say yesh lecha dvar aveira, ain't lecha dvar aveira? What is it? So it's nothing from nothing. It's a ma'isa chumri. It's a ma'isa chumri. It's just, it's a yada arichta. It's just you doing the thing, right? It's nothing. So he says, no, he doesn't have his own das. In the get, we understand. In the din of what ain't lecha dvar aveira, what do we say? Divar rav. And divya talmud, divya mishayman. I understand ain't shlech dvar aveira because I tell a yid who's about, I'm talking about seich lagodl. I tell a person I want you to go to, I'm sending you to do this aveira. So I understand that we don't say shluch shalom kamayis. So why? Because divya rav, divya talmud, divya mishayman. I understand that person has bechir. He's about seich. So he shouldn't have done the aveira. But when it comes to behem is bechlal not about seich. It's a goof. That's all. It's a machine. It's no different than you turning on a machine. It's you. Even though you're saying that my dog is the smartest dog, it's a very smart dog. It doesn't mean, it just means it's trained, but it doesn't mean it has any. It doesn't have any intelligence. He's getting upset. It's Elio Bola ear. That means it's a sim to Elionovi, and that's why. That's how the Maral explains. By the way, where Chazal said that when Elionovi is in town, the dogs all start barking. And Chazal say, so what is it? The dogs are barking. How come we're not barking? You'd think that if Elionovi would be in town, the tzaddikim would feel something. But no, the dogs, how come the dogs are all going with sugar? So the moral explains. Because since a dog, Chazal didn't look highly upon dogs. Chazal saw the Hanikalma Dachatzif, and dogs are looked, donkeys and dogs are not respected among them, the least respected. And in the Sifrei Kabbalah, dogs are from the other side, Ramshin the other side. That's why there's Davka Yetzirah that to be your best. Your best friend, to be his best friend. There's such a one that the Chacham said that a dog is a person's best friend. No? So, a dog is chumri. But because he's so chumri, because he's completely physical, he can sense that there's something spiritual happening. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Because if you have something of your own spirit, if there's something that you have of your own thoughts or your own heart, so that you have, there's a presence within you that is interfering with any frequency that's coming from the outside. So a person, a human being, has his own frequencies going on. When you have a kelev, which is so empty, it's nothing but a goof. So when there's something different, when the Gemara said that they feel Elionovi, it doesn't mean that the dog says, shall you hear it? Elionovi. It doesn't mean they know it's Elionovi. It just means that something's going on. Why? Because they're so passionate. They're so posh. That's what the Torah was given in the desert, because no place else could be makabel the Torah. Right? No place, because every place else has something of its own personality. A desert doesn't have any personality. A dog has no ruchnius. That's why, and a chamor. That's why a chamor can be soivel anything. And a dog. Why will a dog be your best friend? Because he's such a worthless behemoth. That's why he'll be your best friend. If he had any seichel hergish, he would say, why should I be friendly with you? What do you mean I'm your best? What are you? Because you give me a plate of something. I like it better running around. I don't need you. But he's so stupid. And he's such a chumrizdika thing that, yeah, you're right. If you give him a pinch and you throw him a bone, he'll take and say, oh, we're old friends. We're big chaveir. It's because of the chumriz shabbai, not because of the ruchni is shabbai. The chumriz. So that's what he says. V'zeh inyin ha-behemah, she kula guf v'choyma. L'kach v'yefa, misha parishman ha-erva. A person who is parish, a person who stays away from arayis, parish with tayvus agufa chomil l'fichah nikra kodesh. That's a kodesh. What's lama parish mean yonei elam hazeh shehu guf? This world is a guf. It's physical. The person who resembles Hashem is not a person who can't stand this world, but it's a person who's able to see the world for what it really is, and to use it for kavod shemayim. Okay, back on top. V'hine, after 35. One thing, so let's look at footnote 35, it's important. Footnote 35. Dvarim elim uvarim heitim b'nesiv ha'prishes. Parag gimel. The biyu d'vei ha'gemar. The Gemara there says, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Sainei, here's another one who Hashem hates. Es ha'nichnas le'beisai pisom. Somebody who comes into the house suddenly, unannounced, boom, walks into the house. So Chazal has such a strong lashon that Hashem hates such a person. And it says, "Anichnas lebeisai." It's not talking about your neighbor, to your own house in such a way, like pisai. Va'orches ba'am is somebody who's not sneezedik. in how he conducts himself in the Beis HaKisa, in a private place. The cost of Shem Levoyis, the Maral explains over there. Hashem Yisbarach Hashem Kodesh B'Tachlis HaKadusha, Hashem Yisbarach is purely spiritual, Sinei Elodim, he hates these things. Why? Shem Yoytzim and that Tzniyis. Because, you know, Tzniyis became such a word that it's like so unpopular. But when one understands what Tzniyis really means, Sanuah means to be hidden, to be Kodesh. So these are things that are operative Tzniyis. Kasha Nichnas the Beis HaPisom. So what's wrong with going into the house? It's your own house. Why can't you go in there? Why can't you go in there suddenly? Kibu'ulai, maybe. Are you some shamilsa that sneezes? Because it could be. Especially in those days where they didn't have many rooms and there was very little privacy. Walk into the house, it could be that somebody's not properly, somebody's getting dressed, it's not proper. Something that's shamilsa, it's not sneezed at something. So he's not makbid. Whatever it is, however it is, he walks in. Doesn't make a difference what people look like, how they're going. Doesn't make a difference. It's fine. It's mishpacha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shu Kodesh, Shu Mufesh, Min HaDovesh, Shu Yoytzei, Min HaTzniyas, Hu Sinei Yoytzei. Hashem despises that. Again, sin here means is far, far from that. That the Shechin is not in such a house. The Shechin is removed from such a house. Could you imagine if they would have seen televisions back then? And things like that. This is a sub. All right, there's already an Edelah in the Kud that comes to the house a little bit too suddenly. What about a person who spends hundreds of dollars to put something in his house where the whole thing is the opposite of tzniyus? But the whole mitzvah of the machine is the opposite of kedusha. And then he expects that the shechina should be shvui in such a place. That there should be shechina. He thinks he puts a chumash on the table, and lights a candle, then everything's okay. Please forgive me. I don't know. I'm not making a cheshbon. It's your business. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, it's the truth. What kind of cheshbon is it? A crazy cheshbon. Hakadosh Baruch Hu hates preaches because he's kaddish, and therefore the Zohar Kaddish, the lashon of the Zohar Kaddish is that loshayev also pogim, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, the Shechina can't come into a place which is pogim. Not that he doesn't love you. Not that he doesn't want to come to the house, but he can't be soivel at Hashem because. The Shechina is the Shechina HaKadosha. And the person is brought into the house, Atuma. So how could the Shechina be shared in such a place? And by the way, the Maral speaks about this, not here, but in the Nesivos Olam. Nivel Peh, you know, obscene language. Using language, it doesn't have to be those words, those specific words that are... You have nowadays a new thing, you have Jews, that they wouldn't say those specific words. But the way that they speak is prost and is coarse, and also it's a nivel peh. It's nivel brishus atayr, not nivel peh. It's a nivel peh brishus atayr. They don't use even the lashinas that are not our lashinas. That you know, my son is here, so he knows that I can't be soivel any of these lashinas. You know, yo or this or that. Like these lashinas that I know that after a while, eventually became such a thing. I guess my father couldn't be soivel when I said things, and now I could be. You know what I mean? I guess that's how it works. You go from one generation to the next. But the lashinas that are coarse and that are prust, that are not, they're not snuim. The lashinas are not snuim. The lashon of the amim of the goyim, it's not sanuah. It's not refined. And the Maral talks about nivel peh, which Chazal say such a lashon by nivel peh ma'amikim lo gehanim. It's a scary lashon. It doesn't just say that a person goes to gehanim. It says ma'amikim, like they dig a deeper place for that person. On a called a manabel piv, ma'amikim loy gehanim. It's not. In other words, the regular gehanim is not enough. You got to go to the basement. Ma'amikim loy. What does it mean? And what's gehanim? Gehanim means heder. It means being far away from Hashem. What does it mean? Ma'amikim loy. It means to be so far from Hashem because Hashem can't stand nivel peh. And even if on a technicality you got away with it, I didn't use one of the bad ones because I didn't use this word or that word. You can't catch me on that. But it's a nivel peh, a person that talks in a way that's prost, that's not refined, that's coarse, that's not sanuah. There's a way to talk that's, and you have to be very, very careful, especially if you're in the non-Jewish world. I tell you, you know, the shul's, Baruch Hashem, the shul's nearing its completion. So I go in now almost every day. No, I actually go every day, except Shabbos. I go in to see how it's holding the shul. You know, so almost every time I go in, the chevra, the guys, the workers, there are 20 of them, they're having a break. I don't know. It's It's a union thing, I guess. 9:30, 11:30, 1:30, and then they're finished at 4. They should all be well. The nice fellows. I always say, how you doing? I talk to them. The lashiness. I go there to look at this. The lashiness. It's not even like if someone's upset with somebody else and uses a prostolution. No, mela. Not that I like it, but I understand. No, it's just, hey, how are you blank and doing today? Instruction. So he says, you don't know. He says, every day I have a Jewish mother who's worried about her son that's not doing so well in the yeshiva. And she says, calls me up and says, Martha, do me a title. Can you bring my son Yankel to teach him how to, you know, to be in the business, to give him something to do? He's not doing, he's not learning, he's not studying. Take him to a couple of work sites with you and teach him the malacha. So Mordechai told me that he says to these people, look, I would do you a taiva. You know, I would do you a taiva. But you have no idea, like what you have no idea what it means to be among these people. You have no idea. Like he tells you, imam has to go to the mikveh 10 times a day. It's unbelievable, the lashonis and the inyanim. It's unbelievable, the way that the gilui arayis in every single word. So this the Kadosh Baruch Hu sinai that. A person who's immodest, the way he conducts himself. Why is there any other religion in the world that we have halachas about the Beis HaKisa? Halachas of the Beis HaKisa. Right, I told you that once. There was this Baal Tshuva that he wanted to learn Shulchan Aruch from the Kaseidah from the beginning of our time. I told us he wanted to learn Kaseidah. So I said, we could do different inyanim. He says, no, I want to learn Shulchan Aruch with the Magen Avraham Nataz Kaseidah. So the beginning is, you know, it's very exciting, especially about tshuva, you know, and shibisa Hashem ha'bisom, it's gevaldik. But then when you get to the halachas, the Beis HaKisei, right, and you get to the next simon over there, can't believe it. What's going on? Like, why does God talk about this stuff? Why is God interested in all these pratim of the Beis HaKisei? It's a pella. Why? Because of kedusha, kadosh, Hashem Tzevakos. Kedusha. What does that mean, Kedusha? It means that it can't be in a place with his nus. Bilam himself understood. He was such a maneuver. Bilam understood that the God of the Jews, he despises these things of znus and gilai rayis. Kedusha God is kalsav ha'evu silik v'hasar v'dahaynu. That's why the lashon of gilui arayis, to be megala the erva. Whereas sneis means something which is kulay kodesh, it's hidden. It's hidden. The more precious something is, the more hidden it is. Even these prasta chevra on the work site, but if someone says something about somebody else's mother, that's not nice. Don't kill each other. That's my mother. You told me about my mother. So, what's so special? That because even in his feeble, distorted mind, there's an inyan of something that should be here at Sanur. There's an inyan of sneis, of his mother. Because if you really, really love someone, and there's something precious, even in that madrega, there's an understanding it should be covered. But Gilui arayis means just the opposite. To be megala, everything is to be holach megala soy. Gilui, he's kulay gilui. What's a behemoth? The behemoth is, there's nothing hidden in the animal. There's nothing hidden. The animal doesn't have anything hidden. That's what it is. What you see is the animal. So when a person is not sanur, he's completely begolui. His whole teva, his whole life is begolui. And when people talk to each other, also you have nowadays you have a boy and a girl, they know each other for 15 minutes. He's already, you know, okay, I don't know what I have aggravation for my mother. I hate my father. 15 minutes, they don't even know each other, and it's already they see themselves as being so honest, and the old generation is dishonest because there's a shmira of how people talk and what they say and what they don't say,
We're learning sneeze from a cat.
So what does that mean?
Or like ask a number, any of those things, but specifically tznius from a cat.
Yeah, so it means in the tahaluchas of that animal. Now talks about that a lot. And, you know, it means that it doesn't mean that on the deepest level that it has a consciousness of tznius. It means that as the Maral explains, that Hashem has created certain things. Everything in the world is to teach us something, right? Everything teaches. Everything's telling us something. The whole world is telling us something. So Hashem created different berries to teach us different things. That's why we have the Perek Shira. And you study the Perek Shira, and you see that everything in the world has a song, because everything in the world Hashem has created. So therefore, it doesn't mean that the cat is like a Baal Madreg, that he worked on himself and he learned Mesir Zashar. It means that the cat is such a Briya that when you look at it, it conducts itself in a way that's Sanua. And therefore, Yod Asher Kaneyu and so on means. It doesn't mean that the Shor, the ox, is a Baal Madreg. It means that I'm supposed to take from this thing when I look at it, and everything in the world is supposed to remind me of what my avoid is. That's all. It doesn't mean that there's any kind of an avoid or any kind of a pneumis. So that's the whole question of whether there's schar v'ainish by animals. So there are, you know, there are steers in Chazal that there is schar, there isn't schar. You see from the Ramabul that there was schar. I mean, all kinds of, why should an animal be rewarded? It's not a bal avoid. Hashem created an animal in a certain tava. Right, these are discussions that we find in the Reb Sadigan talks about, and then we show them in the Kadmon. Okay, after up on top after 35. The mitzvahs that we do, even though they're ma'isim gashmi, the physical, so the philosophers say, how can it be that a person is doing these physical things, or he's avoiding certain physical things, and as a result of that, he's able to acquire dveikus to Hashem, who's unknowable, who's beyond man? How could that be? So now we understand, tziruf hanefesh, because these acts, these specific actions, each and every one, by virtue of a Jew living this way, is bringing a refinement, is bringing himself to resemble Hashem. He's mezdame elov. Kasha yesh la'odam ezdamus la'boyra. Va'achoyte behem, mevi elov oynish ha'krisa va'apirud mimeni yizbarach. And the one who is sinning in any of these inyanim, which means that he places his own ritzainus, his own will, before the Ratzon Hashem. So that person is naturally cut off. The result is that he's cut off. Like the teaching from the Talmud of Hashem in this parasha, Anochi Oimed, the Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am standing between you and Hashem, right? And there's Moshe Rabbeinu says, Anochi Oimed Beinichem Uvein Hashem. I am the one who is standing between you and Hashem to be Makabel Torah and to give you the Torah. So it's a teaching from Shishchen Kosk that Anochi, it goes back really to Baal Shem Tov. I think they told us here, he brings to Baal Shem Tov, that what's standing between a Jew and Hashem? Anochi, the I, myself, my ego, my own presence. That Anochi is what separates between a human being and Hashem. The Anochi. Anochi Oimed Beinichem Uvein Hashem. That's what stands. Huh?
They don't mean literally here, krisis, right? That's not what the mind
means. No, it could. It means krisis. It means krisis. It means karis if it's an aver for which a person is chayav karis.
It would seem like that he's categorizing all of them, but I don't think that's...
No. Yes, that's why he says, Einish ha-krisa va-pirud. There are different levels. So I think krisa would mean someone who's chayav karis. And then you have another level that's pirud, which is less severe. I mean, but there are different levels, you know. So, and then you learn Hilchos Shuvah Rambam, and then we understand that there are tikkunim of how does one become reattached after being separated. How does one become reattached? Right, but you know all the whole union of edus, of testimony, of psulei edus, and the sugyas and Sanhedrin, and b'chalal, like what does it mean edus and emes? That we understand that there is a distortion that takes place with different averes. There are different levels of distortion that take place that disqualify the person for different things in this world. As a result of his being separated in such a way from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a result of that separation, there is a disqualification. And it's not a question of punishing, that now you're puzzled for an aid, you can't be a witness. You're puzzled for aidus. So a person is a mesachik bekubya, right? So he gambles. Okay, so that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So either it's because there's a problem here of asmacht and asmacht loikanya, or there's a problem that he's saying, Isaac, what? Yeshuva Shalom. That means he's not preoccupied with that's the naf community, whether he has an umdus, the Gemara says there, right? Whether or not he has another job, or he's somebody that just gambles. So, okay, a guy that's just gambling. Okay, according to that mandam. So he's just gambling. So he's somebody that's not Isaac, be Yeshuva Shalom. In other words, what's the pshat that he's lost, at least midrabanan, he's disqualified as a witness? Why is he disqualified as a witness? He could be the sweetest, most honest guy in the world. And according to that opinion, because he's not productive. So what? So he's not. So why does he have to be Isaac the Yeshuva Shalom? Why does that disqualify him? But if a person, and I'm not going to go into it right now, I just want to bring it up, but if a person goes into ba'aymik, into depth, each of those psulim, and what's the problem, then all of those lead to the same conclusion, that befrat, these inyanim, are the opposite kivyachal of him, of the one above. And there's a sinner for these things. And therefore, the disqualification takes place because ha-mishpat le'elokim hu, the Beis Din is a mishpat elokim hu. Elokim, of course, means Beis Din, but why is it called elokim? So that mishpat is a place where the Shechina, as Chazal say in many places, is revealed in the most remarkable way. So what do you want? So you can't. Well, a person that you have people that a person that's puzzled to be about tefillah, he can't daven for the omid, and maybe he could daven for the omid during the year, but he can't daven for the omid Rosh Yom Kippur. There are certain specific averus that bring this more of a disqualification than others. For one aver, the person can still be about tefillah. For another kind of aver, even if there's a shmur, right? He can't serve as about tefillah, and maybe he could be about tefillah on a regular day, but he can't be on Yom HaKadosh. He can't be on Yom Kippur. He can't be on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. These are all chilukim that have to do with the result of the aver. And the distortion and the separation that comes because of that aveira. Let's just do the next paragraph. V'hine elo on page kufim hay. This is just quickly. V'hine elo ha'maitzim atayvim yachdim nefesh adam hatsulim nashem esbarach lahitz yosim and ateva hashem eshutav for adam. Already he's chazing a little bit over here. Therefore, all the mitzvahs of the Torah are designed for one specific purpose. You do these things, you will resemble him, and you are going to now you are going to share in common with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be different from an animal. Otherwise, you hear the same as an animal. And HaShem Baruch gave you your Baal Bechira to do these things, and by doing these things, you are now lifting yourself off from that place of a behemoth. There's no question. Eicha Meisim, the philosophers are asking, Eicha Meisim, Eilu Mevim El Ha'odim, Hatzloch El Yoin, how could it be? Aydei Meisi Hara, Mevi Elav Oynish Nitzchi, why should it be that I'm doing these things, I should be eternally punished for what? What did I do so bad? I didn't hurt anybody. B'chen HaMitzvah Shalei Neid Atamam, Be'ez Etzadim, Hatzloch Ez Navsha. And how could it be that I put on tefillin, I do this, I do that, and it brings me eternal Hatzloch? Why? V'yikne Bezeh, Hatzloch El Yoin, Ki Kvar Amarnu, Ki HaMitzvah Sa'elu Ru'im El Ha'odim. The mitzvahs, each one is ro'i, is designed for the human being. Mitzad ki mitzvahs kulam sichlius alokius. Every mitzvah is mamish aloki is a shtik elokus. Shekach sidra Hashem is baruch le'mashachayev seichel adam. Not what you think makes you close to Hashem, or what is good and what's the seder. That's the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. They have that taka, but not us. Rak mashach sidra Hashem is baruch b'chachmosa. We have the Torah Kedusha. Ulekach ha-dovik b'mitzvahs, dovik b'sechli. Only the one who's dovik to mitzvahs is dovik to that which is transcendent, which is pure seichel, which means purely spiritual. For ha-seichel, this doesn't mean the intellect, it means ruchnis. For ha-seichel ha-eloki ha-elyon v'idei zeh, yesh lo dvekes b'yiz baruch, u'maitzin ha-isem and ha-teva ha-mushutefes, and that removes you from that purely physical teva that you share in common with the behemah. U'bzeh nafshei tzrufa, then your soul becomes refined, becomes purified, va'oz dovik bo yisborach, and then you are able to achieve the state of dveikus tasha. Okay.
How does it work with the sukkim? The point of the dinner, the question that all mitzvahs have this.
Yeah.
Not but, the way that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. But what do you want to say about sukkim?
Say not in the same way. Like, does an eved have dveikus with his master? Just because he's following the word of the...
That's a good question. In other words, let's say there's a certain task, or there are a number of jobs that the master would like him to do, which the Eved Bechlal doesn't have. Like, you know, I don't see any tachas to this. And he's mevatel his rotzen. That bitl harotzen does bring to dveikus, yeah. I mean, you know, on a human level, there's a dveikus to that. You know, that's the deeper meaning of it. Is the Ishak Sheira, is the Tzayin Baila, not the way that people...
The same vagus that we're talking about here because he's been dominant to the...
So Kabbalah's all, when the person's Makabal Al-Machu Shemayim, and even though I feel like doing this, but I'm not going to do it because I want to be like him. Let's put it that way. I want to be like the Baruch Shalom, or I want to be like this person. When I'm evapel myself to that, Ratzon, and I remove, which is what Malchus is, Leis Le Megarmei Klum, I remove myself from the picture, So, can I be mizdame in any more powerful way than that? I'm mamish like a shofar through which that person is called, is traveling. I'm mizdame more than anything. I become a total kli, which is what malchus is, a kli. Tachlis is a lashon of kli. There's the greatest level of resemblance. He's a master and I'm a servant. So no. The others, like Chazal say, hein hein emarkava. What it means is that there's such an identity. You identify so much with the other that you become the other. That's how you're. In other words, there isn't on that highest level. It's not that this slave resents being asked to do this anymore. He doesn't resent it. There's no hisnagdus. It's the most natural thing to conform completely to the will of the one who owns him. He's mavatl himself to that in such a way.
You're saying his spotless is resemblance?
Absolutely.
Is that's a higher level than all the things we spoke about tonight in terms of yashrus and?
It's the same thing, Ramesh. That's what I'm saying. It's not different. I'm just not being clear. It's the same thing. His batlis means that my definition of yashrus is not the one on the street. I don't have my definition of yashrus. You ask me, maybe this isn't yashrus. But the Baruch Shalom defines this as yashrus. I'm a vatel myself to that. And in doing so, you have utterly removed the anochi from the picture, and you resemble him in the most powerful, amazing way. Your mamash is one and the same. Ani vahu. Zek Kelev Anveyu is Mahu Avata. Why is it Anveyu? Anivahu. That's what it is. There's no longer the self. And therefore, not only am I Mizdama, I become identified with him, Kivyahu. That's the highest level. And how does that work with what we're talking about? Stalkin, Ches, and all those things, to resemble him? Avada. But as Kabbalah's all, not what I define as Stalkin, what I think is nice, but what he does. And I have no rust on my. Is it clear? Now tell me.
We're talking about the nibble pad example, for example.
Right.
It's just a Torah, so that's a spotless or
nibble pad b'shus ha-Torah.
If a person's going to do something which is not
it's not against halacha.
Right.
It's not us, sir.
For example, it doesn't seem to be tonight. We were talking about many things which have independent value, not like our intellect as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intellect. But that a goal of yashrus in and of itself, sonei sheker. Otherwise, it's the same idea of just doing the mitzvos, and that's the spotless, and that's the ultimate dveikus. It seemed to be that there was another idea being introduced here, though.
Well, there are more.
To try to identify with certain mitzvos.
Right. So therefore, we.
Okay.
Therefore, we find there are halachas in the midas. And then there's lifnai v'lifnim, v'lifnai v'lifnim, dargis and dargis and dargis of more edelkeit and higher levels of dveikus. And therefore we learn the Mishnah Svarim, and we learn the Svarim HaKadoshim, we learn Tarmid Dvarim, and begin to understand more and more. You're right, there's a certain basic level, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu works with us as we move along, but there are higher levels of dveikus, like the tzaddikim, that they're completely removed from kas, even though in the circumstances it wouldn't be awesome, let's say, to be angry. But the tzaddik is on a higher level of bittul, is a higher level. It's, in other words, there are greater levels of refinement, and that might not be in the letter of that might not be in the din in Shulchan Aruch, but it's the Torah of Klai Yisrael through the Doris.
It's not man. Sure if a person should be contemplating being the dam himself or the spotless dam. I'm not sure.
There's spotless is the ikur. No, it's that my avoid is. To do what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. The result of that, even though I'd rather do something else, but I give that up to him. The result of that is that by virtue of that, I am by virtue of that act of his batlus, I am his dama elav. Whether I think about that, I don't have to think about it. That's just the mitzvahs. I don't have to worry about it. That's just the mitzvahs. I am his dama elav.
But the nachmina would be where somebody has no need to be in his batl.
No need to be.
His matara, everything about him is going the way the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants him to go. So he only needs his damos. He doesn't need his batlos. In other words, if I think Yashir is this way, the Rebbeinu Shlomo says that, so I can give it to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. But this guy has no problem with it.
As long as Hashem is in Shemayim and Aniba Aretz, as long as there's a heaven and there's an earth, there's going to be an avoid of a person, there are always going to be levels and levels and daggers of his battles. Always. Can't be.
It has to be his battles.
It has to be.
He had a good Rebbe in first grade.
It's much better, but there's still... Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely mushed from this world. He's still, this human being is still inhabiting a physical body. There has to be something. There has to be an anoichi. There has to be. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was meant to Shai Bina. So do we know what that means, that one thing? So we're all thinking, come on. We couldn't get to the 50th. It was so silly, you know. You already have 49. You couldn't do one more. We don't chap. From 49 to 50 is infinity. We don't chap that. But the chasroi ma'at me'ilokim. It's a murder madrega. No, we should be zeichet to touch the edge of it. Shkayachim.